One, two, three, four, five. Okay. Before I talk about chess, I'd like to learn something about you. I'm going to ask you a few general questions, and then you can ask me some questions too, okay? Do you have any brothers or sisters?
No.
Nope, only child ones. Is that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any pets at home?
Two cats.
Two cats. What are their names?
Ellie and DK.
Cute. How old are they?
They'll be 3 in May.
Yeah. Can you tell me more about them? Like what color they are?
They're gray and white tabbies.
Cute.
We got them from a cat adoption center, so they were named after perfumes, so we couldn't really think of any names for them, so DK was Donna Karen.
Oh, funny.
She just kind of got stuck with DK.
That's cute. I like it. Do you have any other pets?
No.
No. Do you have a favorite TV show or movie?
No.
No? Do you watch TV very often?
Yeah.
Sometimes. What are your shows you usually watch?
Well, I guess like Disney Channel and, I don't know. I just kind of watch whatever's on and like different designer shows and stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Like designing.
Do you? Do you do any designing yourself?
I don't get very much time to.
Yeah.
I do a lot of music, so.
Yeah? That's awesome. Do you watch any, are there any shows that are music shows that you watch?
No, not very often music-wise, but like I'll listen to the music stations when I'm doing, when I'm cleaning the house.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite kind of music?
I like rock music and I like pop.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Do you like to read books or magazines?
All of them, yeah.
Yeah, what are some of your favorite books or magazines?
Books. I like a lot of books. I like to read series books, so I'm reading the Warriors series right mm-hmm. now, and I also like to read kind of action books. Not so much science fiction, because I'm not so much into science.
Yeah. What are the Warriors series about?
Cats.
Really?
Yeah.
What do they do?
It's talking about 4 different clans of cats, and they lived in a forest, but they're on their 14th or 15th book now, so.
Oh, wow.
And they've moved to different forests, but, so they have different clan rivalries and everything, different ranks, like the leaders and the hunters and things like that.
Oh, cool. That's exciting. Do you read magazines at all?
Not very often.
No. Do you want to ask me any questions?
No.
Oh, it's okay. All right. Now I'd like to ask you about chess. How long have you played chess?
Well, I played since third grade, so I guess this would be my 4th year, but I didn't play for a year, so.
Okay. Well, okay. So how old were you when you started to play?
I think I must have been 7.
7?
Yeah.
Who taught you how to play chess?
The chess club at the school. I don't remember the coach's name though. I haven't seen for a long time.
What school is it?
The Assumption Catholic School.
Uh-huh.
It was in Washington.
Oh, okay. Do you have a chess rating?
Yes. For Northwest, it's about 1,000 right now.
Uh-huh. Do you have a chess coach or teacher?
Yes. I learned from Chuck Schulian and Carl Hesse.
Okay. Can you tell me about them?
Chuck is more of a, I guess Carl's more of a strategic player. But Chuck teaches more of the positions and how to figure out what's going on in the positions, where Carl is more of a, he teaches us how to use the positions and to figure out what's supposed to happen, like for end and middle and beginnings.
What are middle and beginning?
Well, at the beginning of the game, we have to set up a strong position, mm-hmm. and we have to put our pieces on the best squares. And then for the middle of the game, we can, depending on our position and what opening we used, we can decide to either try and end the game there or to go to an end game where there's generally not many pieces and you're using your king a lot and the pawns.
Okay. Can you tell me anything else about Chuck and Carl?
They're both very laid back and they love teaching.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So they do it together? They coach together?
Occasionally, yes, but normally they'll take like 1 month at a time, and I take lessons from Chuck outside of chess club.
Okay. Awesome. Do you belong to a chess club?
Yes, the one here at school.
So. Okay. What's it called?
ISB Dragon Knights.
Okay. How often do you play chess, say, in a typical week?
Well, I guess every Monday for lessons, and there's generally a tournament every other weekend.
Okay. Who do you play with the most?
My team members. I used to play with my dad a lot, but I've gotten a lot better, so. my teammates.
Okay. Can you name any famous chess players?
There was Karpov, and I don't really know that many. I'm more of a positional person instead of actually looking at the openings, so I don't get to study a lot of that. So.
Okay. Can you tell me anything about Karpov?
No, not really.
No.
I just see him on a poster a lot because when we go to this tournament, it happens every other weekend, mm-hmm. so there's a big poster there.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
I know he was the chess master and he was the chess champion for a while.
Really? Okay. Cool. Do you ever play chess on a computer?
Yes.
Yeah, can you tell me about what that's like?
It's a little bit different because a lot of times when you're playing chess, you can read what the opponent is doing just by looking at their faces.
Mm-hmm.
And also with the computer, they're a lot smarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a little bit different because you don't really get the excitement of playing against them, so it's a little bit easier to concentrate.
Uh-huh. Do you, is the computer, whoever you're playing against, a lot harder, or is it?
The program that I use is Chessmaster 10,000, so it, you can choose the rating of your opponent, so you can play against masters or like 400 ratings. Actually, you can have people with 10 ratings, which is really bad, but, so I generally just choose ratings around 9. And I keep mm-hmm. going up about every 5 games.
Okay. Do you think it's harder than? So you said you think it's harder?
Probably easier than playing against opponents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now tell me why you enjoy chess.
I enjoy it for the social part of it, because mm-hmm. I get to talk to a lot of people. And also because it can help me in school, so mm-hmm. it's helped a lot in math. And also I get to go different places for mm-hmm. the nationals. This year I'll be going to Texas, so.
Ooh, fun. Tell me more about how it helps you with math.
With math, it's different things like understanding. So I'll have to understand how different things work with chess, and then I'll also have to understand like algorithms and things like that
yeah.
in math. So.
That's really interesting. So where are some of the other places you've traveled?
Last year for the Nationals, we were in Sacramento, and the year before that it was in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
And for the Oregon State this year, we'll be going to we'll be going to the coast, so we'll get to stay on the beach and everything.
Oh, fun. When is that?
March, so so everything's kind of right around my birthday, so.
Oh, that's fun. That'll be a good birthday present then. Okay. Do you have any other reasons why you enjoy chess?
I just enjoy it because it's something fun to do, and it's just kind of, I can kind of enjoy my time there, and it just, it's kind of easier, well, it's not easier, but it's better than sitting at home doing, watching TV or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not too familiar with the game of chess. You probably know a lot more about it than I do. So I would like you to explain some things to me, if that's okay. First of all, how many people can play a game of chess at one time?
Two people.
Two?
Okay.
I've heard of simultaneous matches. Do you know what that is?
I think it's... Oh, yeah, okay. So it's where there's one person who's one opponent, and then there's a whole bunch of boards set up, so they'll play against every board, so they'll walk around and they'll play, so they might be all white for each of the boards, or they might be black for each of them, so that they're playing against 10 or however many opponents.
Oh, wow. So they are playing each board at the same time.
Yes.
That sounds hard.
Yeah.
To remember a lot of things going on. Crazy. Tell me about the different pieces and how they're supposed to move.
Pawns, they move forward one square generally, unless it's the first time that they're moving. They can move two squares, and they take pieces diagonally. Knights, they move in an L shape, so over one square. Up two, or mm-hmm. whoever, whichever direction it's moving in. Rooks move sideways and up and down, so mm-hmm. they just kind of go across. And the bishops move diagonally on whatever color they started on. So if they start on black square, they're going to be black for the rest of the game. Same with white.
Okay.
The queens, they can move forward, backwards, sideways, and diagonally.
Oh, wow.
And the king can only move one square at a time in any direction.
Okay.
So that's all the pieces.
Okay. Now tell me about the goals of chess. In other words, what are the players trying to do?
The players are trying to checkmate their opponent. So they would, so when you check a piece, it's like you're going to take it the next turn you get. So you can, you're trying to checkmate, but other outcomes can be stalemate, where the opponent can't move any of their pieces without putting themselves in check or making illegal moves. And there's a draw also. It depends on what type of circumstances there are. Like if there's just two kings at the end of the game,
mm-hmm.
you can't stalemate with the, I mean, you can't checkmate with the king or stalemate.
Okay.
So each opponent gets half a point.
Okay.
So you're trying to checkmate, but you can get different outcomes.
So if you checkmate a player, can they not move their piece that you're going to get then?
Yeah, well, I'll explain that a little bit more clearly. The king is the piece that you're trying to checkmate.
Uh-huh.
So if it's like you move your piece and then they're attacking that piece so that they would take them the next turn that you get, and then the king can't move anywhere, there's no piece that can block it without being illegal,
mm-hmm.
illegally moved, and there's no pieces that can take that piece, then it's checkmate.
Okay. Are there any other goals of chess that you can think of?
Well, that's for the game, but generally you want to try and get better, so move your rating up more.
How do you improve your rating?
At tournaments, so it depends on how many games there are and who you're playing. So if you're playing better people and you win against them for the majority of your games, then your rating will go up.
Okay.
And if you win against lower rated people, it won't go up as much, but if you lose to lower people, then your rating will go down.
Yeah.
But if you lose against the higher people, it doesn't really make a difference that much, maybe like 1 or 2 points.
Oh, okay. Can you tell me about the rules that players need to follow? In other words, tell me everything you can think of about the game of chess so that someone like me, who's never played before, would know how to play.
You have to move the pieces the way that they're supposed to be moved, and you can't make illegal moves with them. You can't try to distract your opponent while you're playing, and you can't, well, depending on what tournament you're at, if there's touch move, then it's when you touch your piece, you have to move that piece if you legally can. Uh-huh. And if there's touch take, it's if you touch your opponent's piece, then you have to take that piece if you legally can also. And you can't sabotage their notation, so when you're notating, it's there's A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, and 1 through 8 on the sides, so you can notate what square and what piece is being moved. This has happened at tournaments. If you sabotage your opponent's notation and they find out, so that it would make it so that you would win the game and you would forfeit. And if there's timing, so that there's clocks, like you might have 30 minutes on each clock, and if you run out of time, then you generally lose unless there's a position where your opponent doesn't have sufficient mating material, and it would be a draw then. And you can only press your clock with the hand that you've been moving your pieces with, and you're supposed to try and keep touching the pieces with the same hand each time. And you can't change the pieces when your player is not looking, and you're only allowed to go to the bathroom on your own time, and you're only allowed to move on your own time, so you move the piece and then you press your clock. You're not allowed to touch your opponent's pieces unless you're taking them, and if you're going to try and touch your piece without trying to move it, then you have to say, "I adjust first." And you can't touch your opponent's clock, and you can't move your opponent's pieces. I think I might have said that already, but
there's a lot of rules.
Yeah, and then for if you don't see if it's a checkmate or a stalemate and your opponent makes an illegal move, and you don't notice it until the end of the game, then it's still the same outcome. And when you mark down who wins and who loses, you can't come back later and say, "Actually, that wasn't right." It's the final outcome, the way you mark it. And if you change the way the pieces are set up at the beginning of the game and it stays like that for the first 10 moves, then it stays like that for the rest of the game. And also, if the if you move your piece wrong, well, I guess that would be an illegal move. So if you move illegally and it stays like that for the rest of the game, then it stays like that.
Oh, wow.
And if you see another game going on and they say it's checkmate but it's not, or vice versa, then you can't tell them that that's what's going on. So you have to let them do their own outcome. Parents can't help the games at tournaments, neither can friends. That's all I can think of right now, but there's probably a lot more.
That's a lot of rules. Is it hard to remember all of them?
Yeah, sometimes. So you'll make accidental things happen in the games.
Yeah. Are all those rules, do you use all those rules when you're just playing for fun also?
Generally, unless like things like touch take and touch move, different things like that, depends who and what friend you're playing. Like if it's a fun game against like your coach or something, then they'll try to enforce those rules. But there's different rules, like if it's just your regular friends.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now I would like you to tell me what a player should do in order to win the game of chess. In other words, what are some key strategies that every good player should know?
Well, first, in the beginning, you have to, in the openings, beginnings, you have to get a stable position, which would be putting your pieces on good squares, having good pawn structure, having more time, which is having your pieces out, having more pieces out than your opponent, having more force, which is how many pieces are pointed at your king, at the opponent's king. Time, force, space. You want to have more space on your opponent's side of the board, so after the middle, and you want to have more pieces that can be attacking squares on your opponent's side of the board. Mm-hmm. And in the middle game, you want to try to get more of those advantages if possible, and try to either checkmate or move to an end game, where until get there you would trade off your pieces. Mm-hmm. You only generally want to trade off your pieces if you're ahead in material. And in the end game, you would use your pawns to promote, so when they get to the other side, then you can choose what piece they want to be turned into.
Oh, okay.
Except for a pawn, because that's what they were.
Yeah.
Or a king.
Yeah.
You can't have two kings. And you would like to have your king centralized so that it can help protect the pawns.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep your opponent from promoting and to try and get your pawns promoted, you want to either get your rooks on the 7th rank or behind your pawns or in front of your opponent's pawns.
Mm-hmm.
And what we were working on right now in lessons was called Two Weaknesses, where you create two weaknesses in your opponent's strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So that they might have a bunch of pawns on one side of the board and some more pawns on the other side, so that you'll attack one and you'll attack the other at the same time, but they can only protect one.
Right.
So then you end up kind of making their position worse.
Yeah.
That's especially useful in end games.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we were working on right now. And that's just kind of generally what you use
mm-hmm.
to kind of better your positions.
So you were talking about the beginning and middle and end games. Can you tell me more about that?
The middle games, there's kind of more pieces on the board. Well, in the beginning, there's definitely all the pieces
right.
on the board, and there's different attacks going on
right.
and setting up different strategies so that you can attack or pin pieces so that they can't move,
mm-hmm.
or skewer pieces so that there's two important pieces and they can only move one of them
mm-hmm.
to be safe. And this is used in all of the parts of the game, but in the middle game, there's kind of less pieces, but there's still enough that there can be multiple attacks going on, so there's generally still a queen and a couple rooks on the board,
okay.
and other minor pieces like bishops and knights,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of pawns. And you are trying to get your rooks in the, on open files, and pawns are trying to advance, and the bishops are wanting to be on good and open diagonals, and so are the queens, and the king wants to be safe, so you can castle so that your rook and three pawns are protecting the king.
That's the castle?
Yeah, so that you'll switch your rook into your king so that it's kind of in the corner.
Okay.
Protected by your rook
on
the back rank.
Okay.
And there's different things that you can do with your pawns and different, depending on what opening you were in, there's going to be different positional types of things like isolated pawns and double pawns. And for the end game, You're trying to get the promoted pawn, so there will be different things like backwards pawns, where the only pawns that can protect it are already ahead of it. And there will be a lot of isolated pawns. You don't really want to have pawns on the side of the board, because they're harder to promote and they're easier to attack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier to get a stalemate with the side pawns. And if you don't have enough pieces to checkmate your opponent or promote to get another piece,
mm-hmm.
then you want to try and get a stalemate, so put your pieces in positions where they won't be able to move anywhere.
Okay.
But try to avoid the checkmate.
Yeah.
And in the openings, I already talked about openings, so that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Okay. So those are the strategy. How long does it usually take to play a game of chess?
Well, one move is where you make a move and then your opponent makes a move. So they can range anywhere up to 100. Well, they can range however many moves. My games usually take about 30 moves.
Mm-hmm.
And the openings are generally, you want all your pieces to be off the back rank into good squares by about the 12th to 15th move.
Okay.
And the middle games and the end games can be started anywhere after that, depending
okay.
on how quickly you trade off the pieces.
Okay. How long does that usually take?
Well, after that, it depends kind of what opening you did. Like, if
mm-hmm.
you were doing more aggressive openings,
mm-hmm.
and it would trade off the pieces, then you would be closer to an end game very quickly. So you would probably be there by, like, the 20th to 30th move. But if you were doing more passive and closed
mm-hmm.
openings, so there would be more pieces on the board, and nets would be more favorable because they could jump over different walls. Things like that, then it would generally take a lot longer because you would have to study the position more carefully and try to keep different attacks going at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be more pieces on the board for a long time, so that would be a longer game, like, so 40 moves at least.
Okay. What makes a game last a long time? Just kind of answered that. And then tell me again what makes a game end quickly, if you're more aggressive.
There's open and there's closed positions. So with the open positions, the center of the board is kind of, there's not many pieces in the middle and there's not many pieces attacking it.
Mm-hmm.
Bishops are more favorable because there will be more open diagonals.
Mm-hmm.
And pawns are also better, well, pawns are better with with closed positions because they can create walls, and knights would be better in that position too because they can protect and attack many different things at once.
Mm-hmm.
And they can jump over walls and they can avoid attacks. But bishops are better for open because they can move quickly and they can get across the board in one move, but knights take about 3 moves to get where you want to go.
Okay. That makes sense. Do you know how to use a chess clock?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about it?
So there's 2 different clocks, and there's analog and there's digital. So with the digital ones, you can have delay on it so that at the beginning of your, there's 2 different types of delay. There's at the beginning of your move, they give you a certain amount of time, so maybe 5 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and then your time starts. And then the second type of delay is after you move, they add on another 5 seconds.
Oh.
So you might have started with 5 minutes, but if you moved within a couple seconds, then they would add time onto it, so then you'd have more time than with you started with.
Oh, okay.
And they have it so that as soon as you start your clock, if there's no delay, then it just keeps running down every second. Mm-hmm. And if you have 30 minutes, then once it gets to zero, it stops and the game is over.
Mm-hmm.
And the outcome depends on the position. And so you make your move, and then if you're notating, you notate before or after you move, and then you press your clock. But you can only press your side of the clock. And for analog clocks, they have it so that you just start the minute hand on one part, and then it just goes around the clock, and then there's a red flag 5 minutes before the one clock, so that the minute hand will go around, and then it'll pass the flag, and when it passes the flag, that's when your time is up.
Okay. When you hit the clock, what does it do?
It stops your clock and it starts your opponent's clock.
Okay. Is there anything else you can tell me about chess clock?
Well, there's a lot of different kinds. Like our club, we have ones that have bigger buttons on them, so it's easier to hit. And there's different kinds of clocks. The more expensive ones are Chronos, and they have heat sensors on them. There's the heat sensor kind, and they're longer, and they're skinnier, and they're digital.
Uh-huh.
So they have the heat sense one, so if you touch it with the piece, then it won't do anything. You have to touch it with your hand.
Oh, wow.
And then they have the regular type of clock, which just has the button.
Okay. Wow. Is there anything else you want to tell me about chess you can think of? Anything at all?
I think I pretty much said a lot. Thanks very much.
All right. Well, thanks again for talking with me today.
You're welcome.